1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse number 28, just the first few words, says, "Let a man examine himself." To examine means to learn the genuineness of something by examination, testing, or use. As believers, it is important for us to have a proper view of our spiritual condition. Are we growing? What are our areas of weakness? Do we follow after God all week, or just on Sunday, or Wednesday, or a couple Fridays a month? Contextually, Paul is warning the Corinthians not to hold too low a view of the Lord's Supper, which includes neglecting their spiritual condition. We cannot improve as believers without being honest about ourselves. Altering our perspective to make ourselves appear acceptable or retreating from the truth neither helps us in our spiritual walk nor changes the reality of our situation. And I want to discuss this evening three items that are necessary for an honest reflection in a title I've entitled An Honest Reflection. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you for this day. I pray that you bless us this evening as we come to the time where we study your word, followed by communion, Lord. I pray that you'll help us to be honest with ourselves, Lord, to focus on those things you would have for each and every one of us as individuals. And Lord, that you'll help me communicate those things that you would have me say. Pray that the Holy Spirit works in this place, in our hearts and our minds. In Jesus' name, amen. So we're going to look at three things necessary for honest reflection. And what we need is good lighting. Okay, we need a good mirror. And we need a willingness to respond to what we see. Now, I like to give an expository message. I like to sit in one passage and just take all my points out of one passage. This is a topical message, so we're going to be doing a little bit of flipping because we have to systematize the theology a little bit. Each point comes from a different passage, but it all refers to the same idea to bring our point to a full circle at the end. So we need three things for an honest reflection. First, we need good lighting. For that, we're going to go to John chapter 3. John chapter number 3. And verse 17, John chapter number 3, verse 17, it says, "For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. For he that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God." Verse 17 and 18, we see the purpose of the light. If you want to have an honest view of yourself, if we want to have an honest reflection on our own spiritual condition, we have to have good lighting. A willingness to respond and having a good mirror doesn't mean much if you don't have the right light, if you're not looking at yourself, and I'm not looking at myself, in the proper light. The purpose of the light, verse 17, salvation. God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world. God wanted mankind to be freed from sin and sent Jesus to provide that possibility. I think sometimes we take the wrong angle when we consider the ministry of Christ. Jesus didn't come to parade around and make us all look bad. That wasn't why he was here. He didn't come and say, "Well, I'm perfect. You're all dead meat." That wasn't the point. The point was to say, yes, sin has infected the world. Now I'm going to show you how that can be fixed. I'm going to demonstrate and do what is necessary for salvation to come about. That's why the light is here. He wasn't here to make us look bad, although looking bad is part of the solution. We have to understand that we have sin in our lives if we're going to seek a solution to that sin. We have to know that we need a Savior. But ultimately, the point was the way of salvation being illuminated for us. It was the delivery of that point. He was giving us a chance to be right with God. But at the same time, the light is drawing the line of belief in verse 18. It says, "He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God." Jesus states clearly our default spiritual position in verse 18. The word condemn means to judge a person to be guilty and liable or responsible for punishment. The line is drawn and clearly visible, as offered by Christ in this passage. If you put your faith and belief in Jesus Christ, you're not condemned. If you don't put your faith in Jesus Christ, you're guilty. Have you ever heard this one? "Well, I never didn't believe in Jesus." If you don't have Jesus Christ, if you don't put your faith in Jesus Christ, I mean, you can't be saved. You have to be saved. "Well, I never didn't believe in him." So it's as if there's three lines. There's those people who reject, there's those people who accept, and then everyone in the middle who hasn't taken a position. It doesn't work like that. Salvation is something we get the opportunity to opt into by putting our faith in Christ. But until we do that, our default position is the condemned guilty position. By not accepting him, we've rejected him. That's what it says in this passage. When people say things like, "Well, I never didn't believe in Jesus," the next question's got to be Romans 10:9. "Well, did you ever confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God hath raised him from the dead? Because then thou shalt be saved." And when you draw lines, people don't like lines. When you come and you set a harsh boundary and you say, "Well, this is how it is. You're either on this side or you're on this side." "I don't like that. I want a third option." There is no third option. And we start over here. If we want in, we have to opt in by putting our faith in Christ. That was the purpose of the light. But then we see our relationship to that good lighting in verses 19 through 21. It says, "And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds be reproved." If we are wrong and doing things that are wrong, having those things exposed is unpleasant. Our skeletons that are in the closet, metaphorically speaking, are in the closet because nobody can see them in there, right? Because it's dark in there. Because that's not a place accessible to anybody else. That's just those things that we have in our lives that we'd rather stay packed away. But to have those things become exposed when some world leader's internet history shows up, when a phone gets hacked from Hollywood and stuff gets all over the internet, when sin in our lives becomes evident to us because of the conviction of the Holy Spirit or the preaching of the gospel, that's not a fun thing. Well, we can look better if we just stay away from the light, right? I don't look so bad if I'm not, looking at things from that perspective. But if we're right, light is good and it's encouraging. Verse 21, "But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they were wrought in God." It's something that it's like, well, yeah, I'll come to the light, I'll show you this, because I know I'm doing what's right. I have no problem. I've got nothing to hide. I want to come to the light. Where I work, now I talk about that a lot because I spend a lot of time there and a lot of stuff happens there, okay? And I know some of you, every time I say where I work, we're going to talk about that factory again, aren't we? But we've been getting, for those of you who don't know, I work in a plant. We work with aluminum. We make car parts and appliance trimmings and handles and stuff like that. We've been seeing a lot of new customers come in. people who pay a lot more, bigger companies, okay? And so in order to impress these companies, some renovations have been done in the plant. And one thing that finally happened was they renovated the bathrooms, okay? They gutted them all and they brought all the new stuff in, and it has gone from gas station to nice gas station, okay? We have upgraded a little bit. Okay, so, but one thing they did, okay, when they made these renovations was they put in new mirrors and they put in what I call harsh lighting. You know those fluorescent tubes? I think they're fluorescent tubes. Okay, but they light up everything. There's like no shadow. And they painted it off white. It's not white. It's a little darker than that. But anyway, so the first day they made this renovation that I was aware of, I walked in, I turned the light on, I looked in the mirror, and it was like, what is that? I looked a lot better in my bathroom mirror at home. I looked a lot better. Who's that guy? Like, there's nowhere to hide anything when you turn that light on. I look at them, I'm like, no way. I took better care of myself than that. Then I go home and I look in the mirror at home. That looks good. And what I decided? I decided we are never installing a fluorescent tube in my bathroom at home. Because I look better in the light at my house than I do in the light at work. Now, I haven't changed myself any. I've just retreated from the harsh light. I've made myself look better by doing nothing but changing the conditions by which I see myself. Now, I'm getting a more honest reflection at work than I am at home. But I prefer one over the other. And I don't do the budget. So buying lights is not in my purview. We do the same thing spiritually, do we not? We have the light. We have it shared with us. We have it shown to us. Sometimes it's not a fun thing. The Holy Spirit says we got to change something or we got to do something. It's like, I'm not sure I like that so much. How about we just not? Let's not shine on that portion. And then our reflection becomes less honest. So we have to have good lighting. We also have to have a good mirror. For this, we'll go to 2 Corinthians chapter 3. 2 Corinthians chapter 3. And verse 15, it says, but even unto this day, when Moses is read, the veil is upon their heart. Nevertheless, when it shall turn to the Lord, the veil shall be taken away. Now the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. But we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image of from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. A good mirror. A good mirror is one that is free from obstruction. It's not dirty. It's not misshapen. It's not on the wrong angle. It's free from obstruction. In verses 15 and 16, we see that there's obstruction. It says, the veil was upon their heart. Nevertheless, when it shall turn to the Lord, the veil shall be taken away. We need to be able to look directly into the mirror to make a realistic comparison. Here in this passage, Paul is alluding back to Exodus 34. When Moses returned from receiving the law from God, and they had to put a veil over his face because his skin shone with the glory of the Lord. We see that in verse number 7. It says, but if the ministration of death written and engraven in stones was glorious, so that the children of Israel could not steadfastly behold the face of Moses for the glory of his countenance, at which glory was to be done away. When he came back from communing with the Lord, the way he appeared because he was with God was intense enough that the children of Israel couldn't deal to look at him. They couldn't bear the sight of him. So they had to cover his face with a veil. They had to obstruct the glory of God so that they wouldn't look directly at it. For some reason, they couldn't handle it. But we see that we have to view ourselves in comparison to God's splendor. Verses 17 and 18. It says, Now the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. But we all with open face means without obstruction, nothing between us and what we're looking at. As in a glass referring to a mirror or a reflective surface, the glory of the Lord are changed into the same image from glory to glory. Moses, to be changed, of course, means to change your essential form or the nature of something. Moses was changed after communing with God. After he went and he had his time with the Lord in the mountain, when he came back, there was something different about him. And it was noticeable to the people of Israel. The action they took was to cover his face. When we commune with the Lord, there should be a difference. Those people who spend time with the Lord, those people who are under the preaching of the Word, those people that are praying, those people that are reading the Bible, those people that are worshiping and communing and have a relationship with God, there should be a distinct difference between those people and the people who do not. It says there, as in a glass, the glory of the Lord are changed into the same image from glory to glory. The more time we spend communing with the Lord, the more we should start to reflect His person. We're not going to become God. I didn't say that. But we should become more Christ-like. There are two meanings to this passage which can be interpreted here. The transition of the dispensation from the law of the Old Testament to the grace that Paul is dealing with now, the age of grace, the church age. And the transformation of believers through communion with God. See, what was happening in the Old Testament was, yes, you know, when we get into the period where the law exists, yes, God was there and He was present with the people of Israel. He was there, but He was kept at an arm's length. Okay, yes, God, You're here, but You're going to be in the Holy of Holies. And if we want to approach You, we're going to have to go through this sacrificial system, and we're going to have to go through the priests. And if You want to communicate with us, okay, You're going to have to work through a prophet who's going to have to bring us messages from You. And okay, well, Moses, you're shining with the glory of the Lord. We're going to cover that up. Okay, yes, You're here and You're with us, but you're kind of just out of the way. We have to go through a little process if we want to approach You. And that went from having that system of the temple and the tabernacle and that to having the Holy Spirit indwell us and us being able to come to God on our own, us being able to pray directly to the Lord above. We don't have to cover that up, and it's not at an arm's length anymore. Now He is directly accessible to us. There's no need for that veil to be there anymore. We can just come straight to Him. But also the transformation of believers through communion with God. You know, a person cannot have a right relationship with God and be unchanged. If we can't tell the difference between, you know, a sinner and a saved person, that's evidence that there's not a right relationship with God there. There's no way we can really say we're in the Word, we're applying what the Holy Spirit is saying to us, but not be any different than we've been before. It doesn't work like that. Speaking of honesty of mirrors, when I was in my teens, I thought for sure I was never going to get a girlfriend. Like I was one of those guys who I thought I was going to be single forever, not because I want to be, but because just not happening for me. So me and a friend of mine, you know, we wanted girlfriends, so we thought maybe having muscles would be a good place to start. So we started going to the gym, and because I'm going to make fun of them, I won't say where, but if you go on Highway 24, right where, you know, Canamara crosses it, that gym. Okay, right there. We started going to the gym, and we went for the first time, and we lifted weights and hurt ourselves and all that stuff and stayed away from where all the big people were because they're scary. We did that. We went into the change room after with all the lockers and the mirrors, and I got a look at myself in the mirror. And I'll tell you, I looked good in that mirror. Oh, man. I was like, wow, I look pretty good. This is working. My working out career has been an hour long, and I'm already doing it. And then I went home, and I looked in the mirror, and all of that was gone. So this went on. This has happened a couple times. You know, we went, and, oh, I look good. Oh, I look terrible. Oh, I look, right? And I wish I had objective evidence for this, because I checked the mirror as close as I could without looking narcissistic, right? So I got up to the mirror, and I'm pretty sure the center of that mirror is pushed in just a little. So when you look at it, you look like a beast. Now, that's good marketing, if that's what's going on. Because it's like, work out, you look like this. Problem is, you get home and you look like this. Our mirror has to be honest. Or else, no matter how good the lighting is, you're still not getting a good reflection. The lighting might be great. You might have one of those horrible tubes. But if your mirror's dirty, or if it's been messed with, if it's not just the right way, what we're going to see is not going to be the truth. The mirror given here is we're supposed to be looking at communing through God and the glory of God as lit by God's truth. That way we can see what it is we're supposed to do, what it is we're supposed to be, and make ourselves more and more like that. So we have to have good lighting. We have to have a good mirror. But we also have to have a willingness to respond. Now, this will be common to most of you. We'll go to James chapter 1. Book of James chapter 1. Verse 22 through 25. It says, "Be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass or a mirror. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed." A willingness to respond. Now, we're going to do some real in-depth linguistics here, okay? The word doer literally means one who does. And the word hearer literally means one who hears. I know, right? But a good mirror and good lighting aren't of much value if we are not prepared to respond or change anything. It says in verse 22, if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, if we're hearing it, we're not doing it, we're not applying it, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass, for he beholdeth himself and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. If we're not willing to change anything, why look? Why do we have mirrors? You know, if you and me in the morning are going to go to work and we're not going to change anything about our appearance before we get there, why look? Now, I know why mirrors are important. I have many females in my house, and I'm noticing that I'm losing the battle of the bathroom. Growing up, when I envisioned having a house, my bathroom was never purple. It just wasn't in my mind. And it wasn't full of hairbrushes and stuff. When the ladies at my house, you know, they go in front of the mirror, it's like they're going to war or they're trying to repair a spaceship. I have no idea. They have their little kits of tools and they lay it out and they're pulling out their brushes and their powders and their little pencils and whatever. I mean, I don't know. I go in front of the mirror. I have what, one comb? That's it. That's the whole thing. But then they're like they're going to battle. They, you know, they're going to nitpick. Oh, I got to pull this off. I got to moisturize this. I got to make up that. I got to cover that up. I got to pluck this. I got to, like, what? Okay, I'm going to brush my teeth and just quickly comb my hair and then I'm out of here. Like, you know, that's what mirrors are for. If none of that's going to happen, take your mirror down. There's no point. Verse 25. In reference to verse 25, when we go to church or we open the Word or we commune with the Lord through prayer, through Bible reading, we need to be prepared to learn and apply what we learn, recognizing our imperfections. Whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he not being a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. The one who hears it and does it. Now it's just assumed in this passage that everybody's hearing it, because the people he's writing to were hearing it. Not everybody out there is even hearing it. We have people that are not hearers and not doers. Okay. In here, we're all hearing it. We're hearing it right now. We're hearing it. What happens after the service ends? We all walk out the door. We had a good sermon this morning. What happened after we left? Anything? Did we go, wow, that was great? And that's looking in the mirror and not doing anything about it. We need to be ready to nitpick at our own spiritual lives the way we work to improve our physical appearance. Okay, I'm coming to church. Pastor Wyatt's going to get up there. He's going to have a colorful PowerPoint presentation. I can count all the nails on the background. And I've got to be ready to say, okay, whatever's wrong, I need to fix it. Whatever the Holy Spirit reveals to me, I need to fix it. I need to be prepared to do what I have to do to grow and become better as a believer. We cannot, me, you, nobody, we cannot walk in here thinking, I don't need any of this today, but the Bible says I have to go to church. Then we don't improve. There, we got good light, we got a good mirror. But we're not going to change anything, so why look? Why look? An honest reflection requires good lighting, a good mirror, and a willingness to respond. Our goal should be to always be working to be more like Christ by viewing ourselves in a genuine manner in the light of God's truth and the reflection of God's glory. Other ideas of truth or glory are ultimately inferior, despite the possibility of improving our image without any effort on our part. Well, if I think about myself this way, or if I look at myself in this perspective, I don't look so bad. That hasn't changed the way we look. Now, some of you have noticed over the last month or two, I've been kind of doing the beard thing, okay? And at first I wasn't all about it, but, it grew on me. For those of you who didn't laugh, I call that a time release joke, because right now you're thinking, that is so incredibly cheesy. But give it a few days. You'll be sitting at your house or driving down the road or you'll be at work. You'll just bust out laughing for anything. It's in there now. Just wait. It'll hit. It'll strike. And it'll be the worst possible time. You'll be at a board meeting or, you know, something. I don't know. Right when the light turns green. Oh, that's hilarious. That's going to happen. But I've had a beard, and I'm aware of that because I have a mirror. But when I first grew it, and I grew it because, A, I was too lazy to shave 1 week, and B, my wife likes it, so there it is. My mental image of myself didn't include my facial hair. And when I think about me, sometimes, I don't know if you're like me, you try to think through a scenario or you try to envision, well, how did that look to so-and-so? And you see yourself in your mind as you play through whatever. The vision I had of me didn't include my beard. It wasn't there. When I considered what other people saw when they looked at me, the beard wasn't there. So what would happen is I was so convinced, just passively convinced in my head that I didn't have a beard. When I look in the mirror, I was surprised to see me. It's like, oh yeah, I don't shave. Right. Now, me pretending I don't have one didn't take it away. Didn't change what you guys see. Didn't change what a good mirror is going to show me. It only changed the way I thought about myself. Which, when it comes to, you know, being realistic and making improvements, doesn't mean a whole lot. Well, I don't think I have a beard. I don't care what you have to say. No. It's not a genuine, honest look at yourself, myself. I can't change the reality by turning the light off or getting rid of the mirror or not being willing to change it. We need good lighting, a good mirror, and a willingness to respond. We must have honest reflection.